This is the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast, episode 16. In today's show, I'm going to talk about how you can create a sacred space in your home or anywhere really using essential oils.
You're listening to the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast with your host, Liz Fulcher. If you're interested in learning about essential oils, hearing interviews with industry experts, and discovering ways to grow your own aromatherapy business, this is the podcast for you. For more information and show notes, visit the website at aromaticwisdominstitute.com. Now, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy as Liz shares a dose of aromatic wisdom.
Hi, everyone. My name is Liz Fulcher. I am your host for this Aromatic Wisdom Podcast. I'm a clinical a clinical aromatherapist and essential oil educator. And I've been absent, haven't I? I've missed you so much. I had a really heavy teaching schedule this fall. Heavy in that I have my fall certification program that I teach September, October, and November. And I taught a teacher's training this year, and it was new for me. And I'm learning when I teach a brand new class, I really need extra time and focus to present it well. And, you know, when you're doing something new for the first time, it takes more of yourself, basically. And I found that I just wasn't able to get a regular podcast out, and I apologize for that. However, this has also been real valuable for me, and I'm sorry it was at the expense of my podcast, but I'm learning as well how to manage my time, how to manage my resources when I'm doing numerous things. And doing a podcast is still pretty new to me. So I've learned when I have a heavy teaching schedule, I need to plan in advance by either doing pre-recording more podcasts or just informing my audience, I'm in the classroom, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So let's just jump right into today's content, which is very cool, how to create a sacred space using essential oils. And really, using essential oils in this context is creating a sacred space early and using essential oils to support that space. That's more specifically what I'm referring to. So let's just start at the beginning and clarify, what do I mean by a sacred space? What is a sacred space? A sacred space is any area that is designated for restoring your soul, for experiencing your connection to the divine, for experiencing your connection to yourself, to the best parts of yourself. It can be a place where you pray, where you meditate. It can simply be a place where you sit and quietly read. Anything that's going to restore you. So stop and think for a minute about a time you've had a really peaceful experience and you leave feeling well. So a good example is if you've had a massage. How do you feel when you're in the massage room? You feel taken care of, you feel safe, and of course you feel relaxed. You leave the massage and you feel, you know, a good sense of well-being and all is right with the world, and then you go out and get cranked up with life and then it goes away. Or if you're someone who practices yoga, again, what is the experience like when you leave a yoga session? You love being in the room, you feel well, you restore, you get balanced, you leave, it stays with you for a little while, and then life happens, and a lot of that goes away until the next time you go to the yoga studio. If you're a person that goes to church or temple or mosque, again, it's a place where you can kind of restore your serenity, restore your connection to spirit, to the divine. And what happens when you leave is that you feel better equipped to handle life, don't you? So the idea with creating your own personal sacred space is that you have a place you can go to anytime you want without waiting for the next massage or yoga session or for Sunday church. You can go there every single day. You know, with regard to the home, if you stop and think that we have areas of our home that are designated for specific purposes. We have the bedroom for sleeping. We have the kitchen for cooking. We have the garage for storing the car. We have the living room for gathering. Why wouldn't you want to create a small either room or a space or a corner that is your sacred space for restoring yourself, taking time out for your spirit, and keeping a peaceful, balanced mind? So where do you create this sacred space in your life? It can be anywhere. Now, ideally, if you have a room that is private in your home or a corner of the room where you can go and have it be private, that's ideal. I'm very fortunate. In my home, I have a massage room, and that is my sacred space. I have it's already set up as a very peaceful space with a salt lamp, and I have photographs in there. I have candles. I have, of course, my oils in there that I use to clear my sacred space. And that is where I go to if I just want to. Sometimes I'll go there just to nap, just to lay on the massage table and rest, or just to sit quietly and look out the window. And or I might just go in there to say a prayer. And it is where I go in, where I can go and restore. Some people have meditation rooms or yoga rooms in their home. Those are ideal places. But, you know, what if you've got five kids running around, or you have, you know, you just don't have the luxury of having an entire room dedicated to your sacred space? Not a problem. You can make a quiet corner in your bedroom your sacred space. You can make a windowsill kind of a little altar where you put your, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but where you put the things in your sacred space. And that can be, you know, you can sit in front of that window, sit in front of the windowsill and connect with whatever you need to connect with at that point, looking out at nature, looking down at at crystals. You can even create a sacred space when you're traveling. So if there are certain things that you love to have around you, a picture, a crystal, a stone, a cross, any object, you can carry those with you in your briefcase. When you get to your hotel room, set them out, light a candle, and just sit quietly with your sacred things around you. And that's sort of a temporary sacred space. If you wanted to, you could even carry some things. And if you're someone who travels in your car all the time and you just need a time out, if you're a traveling salesman, and I'm completely dating myself by saying that, but if you're someone who's on the road, a pharmaceutical rep is a good example. They're hours and hours and days in their car. If you need to, pull a few things out of your glove box, set it around you, sit quietly, light a candle, use some essential oils, which I'll talk about in a minute, and you have an instant sacred space. Those are kind of extreme examples, but I want to let you know that a sacred space is what you create. And again, if you have a place in your home, that is really what I'm inviting you to do, is create a place in your home that is where you can go and restore. So just focusing now on a sacred space at home, I'm going to give you a couple things to think about when you're setting up your sacred space. So number one, what are the needs of the sacred space? For example, are you going to be the only one using it? Is it a private room that's just for you? Is it a place where other people will be involved? Where is it going to be a sacred space for everyone? Maybe you want to create a place where you and your spouse and your children can go and also have a sacred space. I mean, that would be amazing if you could do that for an entire family, to honor a sacred space. Don't bother little Timmy. He's in the sacred space meditating. Wouldn't that be fabulous? So consider, are you the only one using it? Is it going to be for other people? How do you want to feel in your space? Do you want to feel safe? Do you want to feel grounded? Do you just want to feel like everyone go the hell away? I just want to be here quietly by myself? Is it just maybe you need quiet? You know, what do you want to feel when you're in that space? Number two, how can you include what you want to feel in your space? Let's just say, for example, personally, I've lately been feeling a deep need for connection to my family. It's probably a function of getting older that I feel like over the years I've kind of cut myself off from members of my family. And not in a bad way, just I just don't connect with them that much. And so an example would be putting pictures of my family around in my sacred space so that I'm remembering to connect with them. Okay, number three, your sacred space, this may seem obvious, but your sacred space should be comfortable. So, you know, you can create a comfy corner. You can just create a, you know, it can be a corner with a special chair and a pillow and a side table where you're keeping a book. The important thing is that it is a place where you can relax so that your spirit can come out and embrace sort of a higher level of energy. You can put in there a prayer bench or a meditation stool. But above all, even if it's just a cushion on the floor in the corner where you're lighting a candle, you really want to keep it comfortable. So it's a pleasure to be there. Okay, number four, your sacred space should have a table or a shelf or a windowsill or some place where you can hold your special items, which I'm going to get to next. So you want to have kind of a surface that is sort of raised and it's set apart. So it can even be one shelf on an entire bookcase that is just designated to hold your special things. Number five, keep your area clean. Use essential oils to clean the area. I'm actually going to talk about how to use essential oils in the sacred space here in a minute. But keep the area clean, free of clutter especially. Clutter is the antithesis of peace. Clutter is a big, big focal distraction. So if you're sitting there trying to relax and there's junk all over the place, or you have just too much stuff in the area, and it won't feel serene. It won't feel peaceful, and it really will help keep your mind focused. Okay, number six, you want to have, and this is important. This is really one of the things that makes it a sacred space, is keeping personal items that make it sacred for you. So I recommend a candle, because there's just something magical about candles. I mean, they're used in every sacred setting around the world, in every religion. I mean, think about what it feels like just to sit quietly with a candle. I mean, the difference between having let's say you had a little light on your table in a restaurant, or you had a candle. So there's something very magical about candles. Now, I would recommend you have unscented candles. You just don't want that fake fragrance in your, cluttering up your, I can't even hardly talk about it. I hate scented candles. So see if you can buy a white unscented candle, or make your own. They're actually pretty easy to make. So candles, an essential oil diffuser. I mean, what would be really nice is one of those kind of diffusers where, like a potpourri diffuser, where you put a candle in the bottom and water at the top with your essential oils. But any kind of a diffuser that is, exuding essential oils. Music, any books that are special to you. Crystals and stones are nice. They're really nice on your sacred space altar, if you want to call it that. Flowers bring in so much tremendous energy from nature. They're awesome in a sacred space. And of course, keep them fresh and not wilted at all. And of course, let's not forget our dear friends, the essential oils. You could have a bottle of essential oil on your altar. You could have a drop of essential oil on a tissue if it's something that you would like to connect with while you're having your quiet time in your sacred space. Okay, so those are kind of seven steps. I think it was seven. I don't know. I have to go back and listen. I'm pretty sure there were seven ways that you can set up the space. Okay, now let's get into the juicy stuff. How can we use our essential oils to augment the space and to deepen our experience of it as being a sacred area? So I'm going to give you four ways that you can use essential oils in this sacred space. Number one, you want to clean and clear the area. I know you're going to be excited with this concept. You're going to finish the podcast, or maybe put it on hold and run really quick and set up a beautiful chair and a nice little altar, and yay, I have a sacred space. But you want to clear away the energy that's there, that's already existing there. So you kind of want to start with a clean slate. It's like, you know, before you prepare a meal, you clear off the kitchen counter, and then you clean the space, and then you begin to cook. So energetically, you're doing the same thing in your sacred area. So you want to clear the area. You can do this by cleaning, vacuuming the space and getting rid of any cobwebs, or, you know, especially if you found like a closet. If you've ever seen the movie The War Room, she used a closet as her prayer room. So if it's a space that's little used, make sure you clear away the dust and the cobwebs. And I would make a spray that is great for cleaning, and it's also going to energetically clean the space. So I would get like a 16-ounce bottle and fill it with water and add, two or three tablespoons of white vinegar. You can add a little bit more if you like. Vinegar is very disinfecting, and it also helps to deodorize the area. And then I would add maybe 10 drops each of lemon, eucalyptus, any one of the conifers like pine or spruce or fir. And be sure in this blend that you are adding juniper berry. Juniper berry is my go-to essential oil for energetically clearing a space. juniper berry is a good detoxifier for the body. So it helps to move fluid, and it helps to detoxify. It'll do the same thing energetically. So make sure you add that into your spray and go ahead and clean the surfaces. You can clean down the walls if you'd like, and make sure the area is fresh and clean before you get started. And by the way, when you're in your sacred space and using it, I advise you just to clear it out energetically from time to time. There are a lot of ways you can do that. You can do something called smudging. You can use various essential oils. I just released an ebook called How to Use Essential Oils to Clear Negative Energy. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and that has some great ideas for regularly clearing the energy out of a space. Okay, we have established our sacred space. We have cleared it energetically and physically with antiseptic, antibacterial essential oils, and oils that also energetically clear away old, stagnant energy. The next thing you want to do, and this is just super simple, it's just set the intention for the space. Setting the intention just means declaring the purpose for which you're using the room. And you can do that silently. You can also do that out loud. Some people love rituals. I kind of like rituals. If you want to even light a candle and declare out loud the purpose, or this, I don't know, like, this space is designed to support me as I go through my busy life, or some sort of an affirmation declaring what the room is for, because energy loves clarity. And if you're very clear within yourself about what the space is designed for, then you have a better chance of really having the room support that purpose. I personally love anointing a space. Recently, I had new windows put in my home, and I anointed the area around the four sides of where the window was to go in to kind of bless that this new window was coming in, that there would be light and energy and happiness coming in and going out from the window. And I put frankincense in jojoba oil and mixed it together and just kind of set the intention and did the anointing. You can do the same thing with your space while you're declaring the intention for the space. You know, like, I don't, 10 drops of frankincense in an ounce of jojoba. Or if you don't want to use that much, you can put a drop of frankincense, say, in a tablespoon of jojoba oil or olive oil, and mix it together, and just with your fingertip, bless maybe the doorway, whatever feels right for you. By the way, I'm going to include in the show notes one page from my new ebook on creating a sacred space. And I do talk a little bit more about how I use frankincense to set the intention for a space. All right, and then finally, what I'm going to do is give you a list of some essential oils that you might want to consider using in your space. Oils that have different energetic properties. So you can either use them for space clearing, you can use them for anointing, setting the intention, or you can simply use them maybe in the diffuser to support whatever is going on with you at the moment. So if, for example, you're in your space because you've had an argument and you need to clear, or if you're in the space because you are overwhelmed and you need some grounding, it's really a good idea to use essential oils then to support your healing and your clearing of that situation. So in my new ebook, I know I keep talking about it, but I'm excited because it's my first real ebook and I love it. And there I offer 12 essential oils and 7 recipes that you can use. So I'm going to go through now and just share with you some of the oils, 6 of the oils that are in the ebook and how you might use them energetically. So angelica root is a beautiful oil to use in a sacred space. It is grounding. It's transcending. It helps you connect with angelic guidance. Now, angelic guidance can be true encounters with angels, or you can simply be more in tune with your higher self if you want to consider that sort of an angelic presence. And it also will balance and protect you during meditation. So I love angelica root for that. I love Roman chamomile. Roman chamomile, it's very calming, and physically it's great for sleep. But it's also if you're feeling burned out and you're pissed off. If you're in your space, you're feeling angry and you just kind of need to get away. You need support in maybe letting go of frustration and resentment. Roman chamomile is a beautiful oil to support that. I like eucalyptus. I mentioned it in the cleaning spray. It's clearing and opening. It's really good to cleanse a room. It helps to dissolve energy blockages. And if you're feeling suffocated by responsibilities, it's super for that. I also mentioned juniper berry, my go-to for clearing a room of negative energies. Maybe you've been in your sacred space for a couple of days feeling angry, or maybe there was even an argument in the room where you have your little sacred space in the corner. You want to diffuse juniper berry, put it in a spray bottle and clear it. It also helps protect against negative influences and just clears energy blocks. And finally, of course, well, I could talk about lavender. Let's talk about something like, the conifers. I mentioned the conifers again in the cleansing spray, but they're also good for clearing and cleansing a room and to help dispel negative energy and increase energy in the subtle bodies of your human body. And if you're feeling depleted, it's a really good one to kind of recharge you energetically. And, heck, I'll give you one more. Orange, because I love the citruses. Orange is so great for joy and creativity. Any of the citruses are, orange is particularly joyful. It's very childlike energy, so that can bring in a really lovely, cheerful energy to your space. It helps to nourish creativity. So if you're sitting in your space, maybe you're trying to bring your muse forward and, coax her out or him. My muse is a 9-year-old girl. And it helps to nourish creativity, coax them out of hiding, and promotes a lot of happiness. So there are some oils for you to get you started in your sacred space to help support what you're doing. And I really do, again, invite you to create a space anywhere in your life that is just for you. You are so worth it. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure that you're a person who also supports a lot of other people. If you love aromatherapy and essential oils, you're a natural healer. And healers need to get away. We need our space. We need our protective place where we can replenish and nourish our own souls so that we can continue to go out and do good for others. So I hope this has been really helpful. And it is another fun way to connect with your essential oils. I'd love to hear from you if you're doing this already, if you have a sacred space, if you're using oils energetically, please let me know. I'd love to hear different things that people are doing with their oils energetically. Now it's time for that segment you know as Smell My Life. If you're new to the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast, Smell My Life is a little segment where I share some way in which I've used essential oils or hydrosols or aromatics in my life, some real authentic applications. So recently, I have 4 cats, and recently my cat, whose name is Karate, named by my grandson, Karate had some weird thing going on with his fur, and specifically he was losing fur at the top of his head. He's still having a bit of a problem, and this has been ongoing for a couple of weeks. It looks like it may be some sort of a little fungal thing, but he loses a patch of hair, and underneath it's raw. So I started using frankincense hydrosol to heal the wounds, and I can't tell you how quickly it is healing. He still gets them from time to time. He'll get it, and then it clears up, and then he gets it again. So whatever's going on is still there, but he is not getting any infections, and his wounds heal very, very quickly. It may be that he's fussing with his brother, Luther, because they're 2 male cats, and they both have claws. So we're not sure. We're thinking that he may be the omega, and the other one's the alpha, and they're fighting. Anyway, frankincense, hydrosol, all hydrosols are really good for the skin and for healing topical conditions on animals, even cats. I don't use essential oils. They're far too strong for their little bitty bodies, but hydrosols are fantastic. If you don't know what a hydrosol is, I will put links in the show notes to a couple of blog posts that I've written about hydrosols, what is a hydrosol, and some fun and creative ways you can use hydrosols. I'll put those in the show notes for you. Okay, and finally, the last segment is called Ask Liz, and I like to answer an email or an inquiry that was written to me by one of my listeners. So this week, it's from a gentleman whose name is Jack, and he says, "Hi, Liz, I just found your podcast, and I heard you talk about getting a sensitivity if you use some oils neat. Can you tell me how?" I'm new to essential oils. I've been using peppermint, lavender, and rosemary chemotype cineol, neat for about 3.5 weeks, almost daily. Thank you for your podcasts and any help you can give. New guy, Jack. I love the way he signed it off. Okay, Jack, sensitivity is for real. It can happen with any essential oils. It does not matter what the brand is. It has nothing to do. It's not brand specific. It is specific to the essential oils. So, Jack, in a nutshell, sensitization is an allergic reaction of the immune system. And one of the ways that you know that it is sensitization rather than irritation is the reaction will sometimes be noticed in places other than where you applied the oil. So, like, think about poison ivy. That's mean when you have a reaction to poison ivy, it's an allergic reaction to the oils in the plant, and it is not just irritation. And so people will, they may have a reaction, maybe they get poison ivy in their hands, but then they also start itching in other places. It's an immune system reaction. So some signs of sensitization are rash with inflammation, raised, bumpy, itchy skin, even eczema. I mean, eczema is a kind of a sensitization. It's contact dermatitis. So yes, it can happen with essential oils. They are so highly concentrated. It can happen even with perfumes. It can happen with cleaning products. It can happen with laundry soap. Laundry soap in your clothes, rubbing against your skin, you can even become allergic to that. So how you want to avoid sensitization? Do not use oils neat. Do not use them neat over and over and over again. I will use oils neat once in a while. For example, I'll use tea tree neat on a wound or if there's some inflammation. But I'm very specific about when I use it neat, and I'm very specific why and for how long. It is an unnecessary use of oils using them neat also just wastes a lot of oil when you can just put them in a carrier and go ahead and use that on your skin. So again, back to avoiding sensitization reactions. So don't use them neat. Do not use oils that are old. Don't use old oxidized oils, because when they're old, they break down and then they become really prone to being sensitizing oils. Essential oils, this is a bit of chemistry, but if you are using oils that are high in aldehydes and phenols, they're more likely to be sensitizers. So you want to use caution with those. And, you know, if you already know that you're sensitive to certain aromas or perfumes, if you are sensitized to some perfumes, that will happen. Sometimes people use a perfume for years on their neck and all of a sudden they can't use it anymore because they get all itchy. If that is the case, do not use essential oils in those areas for sure. Sensitization does not have to be related to dose either. It can be localized, generalized, systemic. You always need more than one exposure. And women are actually more likely to have an allergy than men, probably because they use so many more fragrances than men. The biggest thing I can recommend, Jack, is dilute your essential oils. To make a 1% dilution, it's 5 to 6 drops in 1 ounce of oil. A 2% dilution, of course, is then 10 to 12 drops in 1 ounce. And a 2% is a great dilution for just everyday use, for body lotions and so forth. I did write a blog post a couple of years ago called, "Would You Know If You Had an Essential Oil Sensitization Reaction?" And I talk more in detail about what sensitization is. I've got a picture on there. And what I'll do is put a link to that blog post in the show notes for easy reference for you. You can find the show notes by going to aromaticwisdominstitute.com/016, because this is episode 16. And if you have an essential oil or a hydrosol question you'd like me to answer in a future episode of the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast, please write to me, liz@aromaticwisdom.com. And put in the subject line, "Ask Liz," so I can find it easily. That is it for today's show. Thank you so much, as always, for giving me your precious time and your precious ears and listening to this podcast. I cannot tell you how much it means to me. The fact that people have been contacting me saying they've missed the podcast means the world to me. It's nice to know that whatever one does is appreciated and is making a difference. And I had a woman write to me and say that she uses my podcast episodes in her homeschooling lessons. And I got to say, that just blew me away. Okay, my darlings, thank you so much for being with me today. And Until next time, be happy, be well.